Last week, we talked about this idea that Lent is a spiritual journey that we go on. By leaving our established comforts and rhythms during the ordinary times of life, we force ourselves to depend more deeply on God as we venture out into the spiritual wilderness. And by setting ourselves apart for obedience only to Him, we acknowledge that He's the rightful authority of our lives. Now, rarely does the word obedience sound like any fun. To be an American is to be wealthy, and it's to believe that your ability to choose what you want is sacred. It's written into our DNA, right? We have this sacred and inalienable right to life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. But the Bible doesn't seem to think that freedom is sacred. Instead, it wants to say that obedience is sacred. To obey is to give up what we want for the sake of what God wants. This is a journey that we go on in Lent, and we've, as we saw with Abraham last week, we have ancestors who have gone on that journey before us. Hear how they navigated the difficulties of obedience and desire from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. Now all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" It's almost like what God is doing among us this Lent is saying, "Here's your job, is to trust and obey me." And it's actually only in that obedience you will find your ultimate good. Did you notice that Moses was worried that the people were going to throw stones at him? You could almost think of the stones as their small desires and their attempts to get what they wanted. But God had a bigger plan, a deeper vision of what it meant to be his people. He didn't just have a stone, he had a rock, and he was going to make water flow out of it. He was going to say that in obedience to him, you find your ultimate good. He's getting down on sort of a heart level and saying, "I'm not going to leave you to what you want. I'm going to give you what you ultimately want." Listen to Caesarius of Arles writing in the 4th century. What then does Scripture mention in what follows? In their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses. This word seems superfluous that the people thirsted for water, for since he said in their thirst, why add for water? Why did he add this? Except because they thirsted for water when they should have thirsted for justice. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice. And again, thirsty is my soul for the living God. Many people are thirsty, both the just and sinners. The just thirst after justice. The latter, the sinners, after relief. The just are thirsty for God, but sinners are thirsty for gold. For this reason, the people thirsted after water when they should have thirsted after justice. So here's the question I want us to wrestle with this morning. What do you want, or what do you think you want? Part of what Lent does is show us what we want. So take a second to think. What is the thing right now that you think you most want right now? The thing that you desire for your day that you wouldn't tell anybody else? And now this part is going to take some imagination. Can you imagine how God might get into that desire, that deep desire, and transform it, and reveals that the ultimate desire you have is for him? What scenario would that take? Now we read Psalm 95, which invites us to sing to the Lord and participate in this transformation of our deepest wants and our deepest desires. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, even though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, in their wants, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's close with a prayer from the Galatian Sacramentary. You can repeat after me. Almighty and everlasting God, by whom that begins to be which was not, and that which lay hidden is made visible, cleanse away the folly of our heart, and purify us from our secret vices, that we may be able to serve you, O Lord, with pure hearts and minds, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.